Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dennis Kelleher, who is the President and Chief Executive Officer of Better Markets Incorporated, a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit organization that promotes the public interest in the U.S. and global financial markets. Better Markets is a Wall Street watchdog and has been referred to as a persistent thorn in the side of Wall Street. Dennis has held several senior staff positions in the United States Senate, most recently as the chief counsel and senior leadership advisor to the chairman of the Senate Democratic Policy Committee. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dennis Kelleher.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
Good, thanks, Dennis. And basically, the House Appropriations Committee approved this agriculture budgeting bill, which will significantly restructure banking regulations as a part of what appears to be the GOP's effort to protect Wall Street's offshore trading in derivatives. And I understand that they've rolled in $19 billion of other spending. So describe the bill and its chances of passage, and then we can get into the whole notion of what these derivatives markets are really about.
Sure. It's a classic congressional ploy where you pass a bill that has got a bunch of goodies for as many members as you can think of so that you can buy as many votes as possible. That's what the $19 billion is meant to do. And then, of course, you put within it, you smuggle in there something that's actually nefarious and that many people would not support. But when they're faced with supporting the overall bill or not, they too often vote for the goodies and try and ignore the nefarious parts. So that's, unfortunately, a time-honored and well-worn congressional stratagem to get dirty deeds done in legislation. And in this case, the dirty deed is fundamentally to gut the CFTC's attempt to impose strong regulation on cross-border derivatives deals. And although that sounds complex, what it really boils down to virtually every person in America, is that derivatives are what caused the financial world to blow up last time. And Wall Street's derivatives and their reckless trading of derivatives is what actually caused the collapse and what caused the U.S. taxpayers and government to have to bail out Wall Street. And that's what's at stake over whether or not derivatives are going to be regulated and how strongly. And the provisions in this bill would prevent that regulation from happening and therefore actually increase the likelihood not only of another financial collapse or a crisis, but also increase the likelihood of future taxpayer-funded bailouts.
And I take it, Dennis Kelleher, that the this Republican bill, which has been labeled derisively as the London Whale Loophole Act, is essentially going to eviscerate the 2010 Dodd-Frank financial reform law. And the CTFC, of course, is the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. They have jurisdiction over derivatives, and essentially they just want to deregulate. I mean, take it away altogether. And this is about the only part of Dodd-Frank. I mean, all of Dodd-Frank's under assault, right? But this is an incredibly important pillar of it, isn't it?
Well, you're right in both points, Ian. All of Dodd-Frank is under massive assault by Wall Street's unlimited resources because they want to protect their business lines and their bonuses, and they don't care about who gets the bill the next time, just like they still don't care about who got the bill last time. And you're also correct that the derivatives part of a Dodd-Frank is crucially important and under intense assault. I call it Wall Street's war on regulation. And the two places where Wall Street has been most aggressive in fighting regulation are derivatives and what's called the Volcker Rule, which bans proprietary trading. And that's because those two areas are the most lucrative areas for Wall Street, where they get the biggest profits and, surprise, surprise, the biggest bonuses. So they are sparing no expense, no lawyer, no lobbyist, no political campaign contribution. They are sparing nothing to do everything they can to either gut, weaken, or prevent the implementation of derivatives regulation.
But along with the bonuses and profits in this lucrative derivative markets, they also have the most catastrophic losses. It was only last year that J.P. Morgan Chase lost more than $6 billion in bad trades in London. I mean, how soon they forget?
Well, there's the old saying that it's hard to convince somebody of something when his paycheck depends on him not believing it. And in this case, the paychecks come fast and furious to the lawyers, the lobbyists, the revolving door, and campaign contributions. So too often it's willful blindness and forgetting and it's amnesia. It's funny, in Washington, D.C., if you listen to people talk about financial reform and the regulation of derivatives, you would think that the financial reform bill was the product of immaculate conception, as if there was no antecedent act that gave rise to it. They talk about the legislation and the rules as if there was never a financial crisis or a financial collapse or massive bailouts or 10.3% unemployment or millions foreclosed on. And that serves the purposes of Wall Street and its many purchased allies and mouthpieces, but it's a gross and unforgivable disservice to the American people, who not only have to pick up the bill for the next bailout, but they're still paying the bill for the last one. I mean, Better Markets put out a report showing that the last crisis over 10 years is going to cost the American people no less than $12.8 trillion. And that report's available on our website, and it's been widely cited. And those costs continue today. You know, people talk about the extraordinary action by the Fed, where they have zero interest rates and quantitative easing and asset purchasing. All of that, almost 5 years after the collapse of Lehman Brothers, all of that is necessary, whether you agree or disagree, because they're trying to mitigate the dire economic consequences of the financial collapse. Everybody talks about we must cut the deficit. The deficit's out of control. Why did the deficit go to over $1 trillion a year? Because of the financial collapse. The crash of 08 was the worst crash since 1929. It delivered us the worst economy since the Great Depression. That caused a massive drop in government revenues and a massive increase in the need for government spending on unemployment, health care, poverty programs. Everywhere in this country, coast to coast, suffered the economic wreckage that Wall Street caused in the financial collapse and that we're still paying for today. And yet, here we are, where the Congress of the House passes a bill that would roll back and deregulate significant provisions of financial reform that are meant to protect the American people from that ever happening again.
Again, I'm speaking with Dennis Kelleher, who is the president and chief executive officer of Better Markets, Inc., a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit organization that promotes the public interest in the U.S. and global financial markets. Better Markets is a Wall Street watchdog and has been referred to as a persistent thorn in the side of Wall Street. Dennis has held several senior staff positions in the United States Senate, most recently as chief counsel and senior leadership advisor to the chairman of the Senate Democratic Policy Committee. Now, specifically what this House bill that's just passed does, we mentioned how they've sweetened it with $19 billion worth of Christmas gifts. You say it's Christmas in July for Wall Street, Christmas gifts for the members to get them to sign on. And, of course, you've also argued that the House bill is nothing more than a backdoor way to killing derivative reforms. But specifically, they want to shift authority away from the Consumer Commodities Futures Trading Commission to the SEC. Now, explain how that ruse works.
As most people know, the last financial crisis was, invisibly incubated in the derivatives market. It ignited the financial crisis. And importantly, derivatives acted as a conveyor belt to transmit the crisis throughout the globe. The CFTC and a law that was passed in 1999 was prohibited, a law passed by the Congress and signed by President Clinton, prohibited the CFTC from regulating in any way those derivatives. So what happened in Dodd-Frank and the financial reform law is that Congress reversed that decision and said to the CFTC, which is the agency that is an expert in derivatives and has regulated the $50 trillion a year or so futures market, said you have jurisdiction, and therefore we're going to give you the authority to regulate those derivatives to prevent that from happening again. Now, the SEC is a sister regulatory agency that has jurisdiction for the securities markets, like the equity markets that people all think of when they think of the S&P or the New York Stock Exchange. So what happened is the CFTC puts out a rule that was very strong on regulating derivatives, and it was required to do so under the financial reform law. The SEC, after the CFTC did that 2.5 years ago and has been working on that regulation for 2.5 years, the SEC put its rule out about a month ago. It just started, and its rule relates to a very small fraction of derivatives. In fact, the CFTC has jurisdiction for more than 96.5% of the derivatives market, which globally is almost $700 trillion large. The SEC has less than 3.5% of that jurisdiction for that market. And the SEC are not the experts, and the CFTC is. But nonetheless, the SEC put out a rule that was supposedly in the interest of governing its 3.5% of the market. It's a very weak rule. It's already loophole-laden. And as soon as the SEC announced it, literally Wall Street's paid mouthpieces all cheered, one of which put out a press release singing the glories of the SEC. And, of course, those very same Wall Street organs have been pounding the CFTC mercilessly. So Wall Street's allies, all of a sudden decided, wait a minute, the CFTC shouldn't take any action. The CFTC should, but the euphemism is, harmonize its rule with the SEC. It's yet another avenue by which, frankly, the very people that brought on the last financial crisis are trying to grease the skids to enrich themselves at everybody else's expense yet again by trying to prevent the CFTC from doing not only its job, but what it's actually required to do under the law, and say, oh, wait for the SEC. You've been working on it for 2.5 years, and the SEC's been working on it for a few months, and you've got 96.5% of the market, and the SEC's got 3%, and you've got decades of expertise, and the SEC has virtually none. But wait, you now have to be bootstrapped to the SEC. And to mix my metaphors, they're trying to hold the CFTC hostage to the SEC in a way that would be laughable to anybody that didn't have a financial interest or stake in the outcome.
So again, Dennis Kelleher, the President and Chief Executive Officer of Better Markets, Inc., the pushback, from my understanding, is coming from 8 Democratic senators, Merkley Levin, Elizabeth Warren, Tom Harkin, Jean Shaheen, Barbara Boxer, Richard Blumenthal, and Dianne Feinstein. And I have sent letters to the CFTC chairman, Gary Gensler, and the SEC chairwoman, Mary Jo White, saying that the CFTC and the SEC have failed to deal with these shadowy financial entities that are sponsored by U.S. banks without any explicit legal guarantee for their obligations. In other words, this is the concern, that these U.S. firms will simply route much of their derivative business through these shadowy entities, leaving the financial system operating as it did before the crash.
Well, right. And, those 6 senators are those 6 senators are doing a terrific job, but they are a lonely voice fighting hard. There are a bunch of senators and House members who were actually pushing the Wall Street line here. And you're right, because cross-border jurisdiction of derivatives means that all the regulation that we put in place for the trading of derivatives in the U.S. will be gutted, because all these companies will just ship their derivatives business overseas, which we know today, with a click of a mouse, you can move billions, if not trillions, of dollars around the globe with nobody knowing it, and putting great risk back on the backs of the American taxpayer. We know from AIG and the London Whale and Citigroup and Bear Stearns and Long Term Capital Management, there are endless examples of big U.S. banks and financial institutions doing high-risk trading and investments overseas across the U.S. border. And they ship the jobs overseas. They ship the revenue overseas. It's really great for London and other places in the world. But when things blow up overseas, it's always funny, but the bill comes right back to the American taxpayer. The United States bailed out the global financial system in 2008. No other country in the world did. Britain bailed out its banks. Other countries bailed out their banks. Only the United States bailed out the global system. 19 of 21 of the AIG counterparties that were bailed out were foreign banks. 9 of the top 20 recipients of bailout aid from the Fed were foreign banks. So if the United States taxpayer and government are going to have to bail out the globe again, then the CFTC ought to be regulating the offshore activities of Wall Street's huge derivatives dealers to eliminate or minimize the risk of those bailouts yet again. Because the recklessness of Wall Street and its unending pursuits of unlimited bonuses are not going to regulate themselves or protect the United States financial system or U.S. taxpayers. And neither are foreign regulators who have repeatedly, miserably failed to protect their own taxpayers, their own depositors, and their own treasuries, all of whom are suffering. You go to the UK, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, Greece, go anywhere you want, but you can find endless examples of where they've had to nationalize banks and shift private bank balance sheets onto the taxpayers' back, and they're breaking their own taxpayers' backs. Why would the United States want to outsource the protection of American taxpayers to failed foreign regulators? And that's what they're trying to do here.
So, Dennis Kelleher, you mentioned that the derivatives market is about $50 trillion, which is a mind-numbing figure. I recall some time ago that Warren Buffett described derivatives as financial weapons of mass destruction. It feels like nobody's listening here or their memories have been erased. Just describe to us how do they make money off these very nebulous instruments that a lot of people don't understand, including the people who seem to participate in them.
Well, that's a good point. I should mention the futures market alone is about $50 trillion. The worldwide derivatives market, including all the swaps, are closer to $700 trillion.
Wait a second. $700 trillion. Okay, let's digest that figure. Go ahead.
So the banks deal with all sorts of customers around the world who need to hedge products, be they interest rate hedges or things like that. So, you know, much of the derivatives trading provides important services to corporations and businesses dealing all over the world. The problem is when they're unregulated and non-transparent, Wall Street gets to then do all these side bets based on their customer bets. And they're highly leveraged, and therefore they're very high risk. And when there's no transparency or regulation, they also get to charge whatever they want because their customers, no matter how sophisticated or smart they may be, and no matter how big a corporation they are, their customers can't go shopping for comparison prices like we all do for everything else. So the idea of financial reform is to require regulation of the market and to have transparency, which is not only good for the customers, but it's also good for financial stability, and it prevents the likelihood of an unseen risk growing and a crisis happening without people knowing it's even happening. And that's what regulation is supposed to do. And you're dead right in that it's an incredibly complex subject. I mean, one of the things Better Markets has tried to do is put a massive amount of information on our website.
What is that website? You've mentioned it twice. What is it?
It's, It's www.bettermarkets.com. And we also tweet about this quite a bit, at bettermarkets is the handle. And I agree it's complex, and we try and talk about this in a relatively understandable fashion and connect the dots so that people understand what's at stake. Because although it is kind of mind-numbingly complex, at the end of the day, it's actually quite simple. Derivatives were at the core of the last crisis. Whether anybody understands exactly what they were, there's no dispute that they were at the core of the last crisis. There's also no legitimate dispute that they caused massive multi-hundred billion dollar losses, if not trillions in losses, which not only precipitated the collapse of the financial system, but actually required the bailouts by U.S. taxpayers and the government. And there's also no real genuine dispute by anybody not on the payroll of Wall Street that the financial reform law that was passed is meant and designed to prevent that from happening again. That's what the CFTC is trying to do. We are fortunate that the chairman of the CFTC, Gary Gensler, is a former partner of Goldman Sachs. And normally what happens with the revolving door is people take their public service and they sell it to the highest bidder on Wall Street, and then they use it against the public. And that's become a rather unfortunately acceptable but disreputable activity. Gary Gensler is the exception that proves the rule. He was on Wall Street and is now a public servant, being the chairman of the CFTC, and he knows exactly how Wall Street does what it does, how it engages in high-risk trading, how it conceals it, how it evades the rules and the laws to do it, how it creates loopholes. And he has, with the other commissioners at the CFTC, put out a very strong cross-border guidance last year that he's now trying to finalize. And the deadline is this Friday the 12th. And hopefully he will convince, he's got two votes for it, two votes against it, and there's one commissioner at the CFTC who's trying to decide which way he's going to vote. Hopefully he'll vote with Chairman Gensler, and they'll pass very strong cross-border derivatives regulation, and Wall Street will not be successful in its war, at least after this particular battle of the war, this time. But it is marshaling, as you said earlier, Ian, all its resources, all its purchased political allies, all its ideological allies, and anybody else it can find who it can enlist into its side to prevent this from happening.
Well, Dennis Kelleher, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thanks, Ian. Nice to be with you.
Again, I've been speaking with Dennis Kelleher, who is the President and Chief Executive Officer of Better Markets, Inc., a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit organization that promotes the public interest in the U.S. and global financial markets. Better Markets is a Wall Street watchdog and has been referred to as a persistent thorn in the side of Wall Street. Dennis has held several senior staff positions in the United States Senate, most recently as the Chief Counsel and Senior Leadership Advisor to the Chairman of the Senate Democratic Policy Committee. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Jose Benavides and assistant producer Claire Goldsmith. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.